Peppermint Patty says to Charlie Brown in a Peanuts cartoon from years ago, "Guess what, Chuck? Today was the first day of school, and I was sent to the principal's office. And it was your fault, Chuck." Charlie Brown responds, "My fault? How could it be my fault? Why is everything always my fault?" Peppermint Patty replies, "You're my friend, aren't you, Chuck? You should have been a better influence on me." I want you to think about influences this morning. And I want to take you on a quick journey, as quickly as I possibly can. I've got more material than I can share with you this morning, because I've done a study about a young man by the name of Timothy. We read about him in several places in the New Testament. And I want you to think with me for a few moments about the godly influences in Timothy's life. And as we think about those influences in his life, I want us to think about those influences in our lives. So yes, let's focus in on Timothy for a few moments, but you be thinking about godly influences in your life. When you think about godly influences in Timothy's life, you have to think about his mother and his grandmother. And that's the passage that Cubby read for us. I will read it again from the NIV. "I thank God," Paul writes to Timothy, "whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." So Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's recalling the godly influences in his life, and he singles out two of them, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. So here are two of the influences in his life. And let's look at this passage a little more closely and some other texts to see how they were those godly spiritual influences in his life. Number one, I think they helped instill in Timothy a respect for God's word. We find that in 2 Timothy a little bit later, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Paul again writes to Timothy, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." From childhood, you've known those Holy Scriptures. Who taught Timothy? It was his grandmother and his mother. And from childhood, you've known about the Scriptures. And Paul goes on to say, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Paul says, Timothy, that word must continue to have a dominant place in your life. It is perfectly equipped to equip you for every good work. And you've known that since you were a child, because you had a godly grandmother and a godly mother who made sure you were taught the word of God. No doubt Lois and Eunice studied it themselves. They applied it to their own lives, and then they taught it to Timothy. They helped instill in him a respect for God's word. Secondly, they helped instill in Timothy, an authentic faith. I love the words that Paul uses here, 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in you also." Notice how he describes that faith that resided in Lois and Eunice and now Timothy. He calls it a sincere faith. Folks, faith is not hereditary. It's learned. It isn't automatically passed down from generation to generation. Christianity is a taught religion. And so here, this sincere faith that was found in Lois and Eunice has been passed down to Timothy, in a sense, in that they taught him and they modeled Christianity before him. Yes, it's not hereditary, it is learned, but I will also add faith is more caught than it is taught. Because subsequent generations, future generations, if they're going to be people of faith as we are, then a great component to their building their own faith is what they're going to be seeing in us today. And if we really live our faith as Lois and Eunice lived their faith before Timothy, there's going to be a greater opportunities for Timothy and Timothy's to come to have that sincere faith as well. I heard about a preacher who had a long conversation with someone, a young man, about becoming a Christian. And when he was done talking with them, the young man decided to obey the gospel, to be baptized into Christ. And the preacher asked him, "What was it that I said that finally convinced you to obey the gospel?" This young man responded, "It was nothing I ever heard you say. It was the way that my mother lived. It was the way that my mother lived." The way we live, if our faith is sincere, then there are greater opportunities for our children, grandchildren, to also develop a sincere faith themselves. But thirdly, I believe Timothy's grandmother and mother also helped instill in him a desire to minister. Let's go to Acts chapter 16 for a moment. Acts chapter 16. This is in Paul's second missionary journey. Verse 1 says, "He came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, and his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted him to have him, Timothy, to go on with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek." Some things I want you to see about Timothy here. Number one, his mother was a believer. She had been a Jew that converted to Christ. But the scripture says his father was a Greek. And that indicates to us that his father was not a Christian. In fact, some debate the fact, and they wonder, was Timothy's father even alive at this point? Or did he die young? But from what we read here, apparently Timothy's dad did not live Christ before him. But he had a godly mother and a godly grandmother that made sure that he understood about God's word and taught him faithfully. And we'll see here that he was a disciple. He was a strong Christian. He had a great reputation among the church there, as the believers, the Christians in that area, spoke well of him. And Paul saw something in this young man, presumably in his teens. And I want you to think about that. That he may even be a teenager at this point. But Paul sees in him something remarkable to the point he wants to take Timothy with him as he continues to go and preach Jesus, especially to places and people who have not heard of Jesus before. And Timothy goes with him. Timothy goes with him. And here's my theory. Folks, I have to believe that it's the influence of Lois and Eunice in Timothy's life that made him willing to go, that made him willing or more susceptible to this idea of leaving home and risking his life at times in order to proclaim Jesus to others. Folks, it's a rare thing for this kind of commitment to ministry to develop if it hasn't been encouraged at home. I suspect that it's the influence of Lois and Eunice in Timothy's life that when Paul wanted him to go, Timothy said, "I'll go." What a model for you and for me. You see, our children, our grandchildren need to learn the scriptures. We need to help teach them. They need to grow in their own faith so that they can become difference makers in this world. And the difference that they make in this world is going to be a large part of the outgrowth of what we've tried to instill in them. May we always seek to instill in them a desire to serve. I read about a young man that spoke at a banquet recognizing the graduating seniors, much like we do from every year. He challenged the high school seniors to serve. He said these words, "Seniors, you've been served by your parents, by your teachers, and by others. And now it's time to take up the towel and serve others." It's time to take up the towel. And at that point, this youth minister shared a towel with the graduating senior's parents, who in turn shared that towel with their graduating senior. That's the mindset that we need to have in our lives, that we want to serve God with all of our being, and we want to teach our children and grandchildren and those upon we have influence to serve Him as well. In fact, our primary job as parents is to teach and train our children so that they grow up to be men and women of God who will serve Him wholeheartedly for the rest of their lives. That's our primary calling. So Timothy's influences in his life. There was a godly mother and a godly grandmother. But there was also Paul. Again, in Acts chapter 16, Paul's second missionary journey. He comes to Derbe and Lystra. There he comes to know Timothy and wants him to accompany him on his journey. Again, Timothy is perhaps even a teenager at this point. We say that because even 15 years later, when Paul writes his first letter to Timothy, he still calls him a young man. And he says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity." Of course, I recognize that the older we get, the more people fall into the category of younger. But Timothy is likely still a young preacher at this point, which also lends to this idea that when he first met him, he's likely a teenager. But Paul takes him under his wing. In fact, Paul most often would refer to Timothy as his son in the faith. Let me share with you a few of the passages that Paul writes either about Timothy or to Timothy, to give you an idea of this, what a great spiritual mentor Paul was to Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul writes, and he refers to Timothy, "When we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them." Again, think about Timothy. He's a young man still. And yet Paul thinks highly enough of him. He has enough confidence in him that he sends him to Thessalonica to encourage this young body of believers, to strengthen and encourage them. Later, Timothy meets up with Paul and Silas again in Corinth. And then he is mentioned in Paul's letters to the Thessalonians that he writes from there, as we've seen. He goes with Paul on the third missionary journey. And at some point during that journey, Paul sends Timothy to Corinth. And later, Paul would write to Corinth, the church there, with these words, 1 Corinthians 4:17. "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." Here's another example. Paul sending his son in the faith, Timothy, to this congregation to help them. And over and over and over, we see that. Paul later joins Timothy in Macedonia, includes him in his letter, second letter to the Corinthians, and then his letter to the Romans. It's uncertain if Timothy went all the way to Jerusalem or if it was later that he finally ended up back in Rome with Paul. It's from a prison in Rome that Paul writes what we call the prison epistles, including the book of Philippians. Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, and not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. Paul's in prison, yet he's thinking about these Christians elsewhere. And he wants to send Timothy to him, his son in the faith, whom they have gotten to know. And again, you see the confidence. You see how Paul feels strongly this bond that he has with Timothy. And he writes two letters to Timothy himself. Here are two of those passages. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 18, this charge I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. We were required at Faulkner, Wendell Winkler, I remember, required the preaching students to study and even outline and write about Paul's instructions to Timothy and Titus. Because it's filled with these instructions to these preachers. But from as Paul writes to Timothy, it's not only as a mentor to a young preacher, but as a father to his son in the faith. And that's where he makes reference to how he thanks God. Verse 3 of 2 Timothy 1, the last letter that Paul wrote. He thanks God with a pure conscience as he remembers Timothy night and day. Greatly desiring to see him, being mindful of his tears, that he may be filled with joy. When Paul thinks of his sincere faith, which dwelt first in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and he's persuaded that it's in him as well. That's just a sampling of the influence of Paul and Timothy's life. What a tremendous influence. So Timothy was surrounded by godly influences. Aren't we? Ingratitude is a disease. It's a disease of the heart. But some things that should cause us to be thankful are the good influences in our lives. Who are those good influences in your life? Is it a godly mother, a father, a grandparent? Is there a Paul in your life? Who is it? Many of us, if not most of us, have had some tremendously godly influences in our past. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Contextually, I think the Hebrew writer is speaking about the great hall of fame of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And that those heroes and heroines of faith form this, they're sitting in the grandstands, if you will, and they're this cheering section that are rooting for us. In Paul's imagery here, or the Hebrew writer's imagery, perhaps Paul. And those great heroes of faith, who not only but not only by the idea of them cheering for us, but also the lives that they lived are our inspiration for following Jesus to the best of our ability. And though I think contextually Paul is referring to those great people of faith in Hebrews 11, we also have a lot of folks in that category, do we not? Been a lot of folks that I've known and loved. Some spiritual giants who have joined that cloud of witnesses. Even in this very congregation. So we all have had some tremendously godly influences in our past. And many of us have some tremendous godly influences in our lives today. Folks that are living and living their faith actively before us. It may be parents, grandparents, older members, mentors, who continue to give us excellent guidance by what they teach us and the way that they live. But there's also some that are younger than we that are influencing us. This group, our children. They teach us. They are some of the godly influences in our lives. We're surrounded by these influences. So if we're ever not thankful, all we have to do is remember, is to stop and reflect. How many people has God put in my life that have helped me? How many people are in our lives today that are helping us today live more closely to Jesus? And yes, Eric and Haley Gray, have been some of those influences in our lives. I'm thankful for the 9 years that they've been a part of this church family. I'm thankful they're not going to be far away. I'm thankful they're going to continue to be a part of our lives. And I'm thankful for the influence they've been in my life, the lives of my family, the lives of our church family, the lives of these young people. So you ask me, how do I feel today? I'm thankful. I'm just thankful. Who are the influences in your life? I think the more godly influences we have in our lives, the less excuse we have to follow Jesus, and the greater the judgment is if we don't. If there's been some influences in your life, past or present, that have brought you to the point in your life where you're ready to have your own faith and to follow Jesus yourself, if you're ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, this morning we hope and pray that you will. If you have obeyed the gospel in the past but haven't been living like those godly influences in your life have taught you, let's make some corrections today. Let's be revived today. If you need the prayers of the church today, please come right now as we stand and sing.